All right, let's turn in our Bible tonight to James chapter 2. Book of James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Our title tonight is A Friend of God. A Friend of God. James chapter 2. If you'll find verse 21, James 2, verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. The title was A Friend of God. We find that in verse 23, the last part of it. It says, and he was called the friend of God, speaking of Abraham. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your word. Just an opportunity to come back on a Sunday evening before we step out into the week, some out to work, others with many other things going on in life. Sometimes we get into the difficulties, the problems, and so forth of life. We just pray, Lord, that you would strengthen us mentally, certainly strengthen us spiritually, and help us, Lord, to be prepared and ready for the onslaught of the world in which we live. As we said this morning, we live in the world. We have to walk in this world, but our walk is not of this world, although we walk up on this earth. And so, Lord, tonight, as we think about the friend of God, help us to acknowledge and understand the importance of our relationship with you. Lord, we love you, praise you, and thank you for it all, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. When a person is physically hurting, we might say they are in poor health. When a person is materially hurting, we might say that they are in poor wealth. But the poorest person on earth is one without a friend. I'm certainly thankful for my friends. And a friend doesn't have to be a buddy that you're just with all the time or anything like that, although it's nice to have a friend like that. But people that the Bible says, if you make yourself friendly, you have friends. There are people out there that I believe that are friends of mine. I can count on them if I have something I need to ask a question of or whatever that may be, that I can go to these people and I know that they would handle it in respect and so forth. Having a good friend. I have a number of men in the ministry that I count as friends. I got a call about a week ago from a friend in another state, and we probably spent 15 minutes on the phone talking and so forth. It's good to have a friend like that. We have missionaries that we support, and some of them I really count as friends in the sense that they call and talk, and sometimes we've got a few of them just drop by every now and then. And not that we've got them set up for a meeting, but they were in the area and they come and so forth. These are friends. Yesterday we made a visit and so forth, and then we went over to the little festival they have over here in Englewood at their park there on Union, and walking around, Heritage Baptist Church over in Englewood had a little booth over there, and we stopped by and talked with them and find out what they had to offer. They was only offering cold water. I said, two booths down, the Mormons were offering me to be a god, you know, and have my own place to rule over. I don't know what your problem is here, but had a good time with them. But we then later met up with the Morrows, Pam and Pastor Morrow was over there. We talked to them for a while. It's good to have friends, isn't it? Just to know people that you see and know that you can count on them. That's certainly true of this couple and that church, and we're thankful for them. There's others around, and I go through and name them all, but that's not necessary. But it's good to have a friend or friends. Abraham here is known as a friend, but not just a friend, but a friend of God. That would be even a greater thing. Why was that true of Abraham? Well, if we went through and studied Abraham, we understand he believed God, he listened to God, and he obeyed God. By the way, we could take you to two other verses, and I'm not sure if there's any others, but just two that I know, excuse me, know of. We got a little raspy throat here tonight, and so I'll say excuse me, and then we'll just forget about it if you see me gag a little bit or whatever the case may be. But 2 Chronicles 20, you don't have to turn there, but 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 7 says Abraham's a friend of God. Jehoshaphat, I think there, the king, he had the enemy was coming against him, and we have Jehoshaphat's prayer, and in that prayer, he illustrates the fact that Abraham was a friend of God. And you can go to Isaiah 41 and verse 8, and they're talking about the enemy going against them. And again, Isaiah tells about Abraham being a friend of God. And so, I want to speak to you tonight about the friend of God. Being a friend of God, I want you to notice three points. Number one is the ground for friendship. The ground for friendship. Let's look at that tonight, if we would. The ground of friendship. Number one, under the ground of friendship, is the fact that they trust each other. Friends will have to trust each other. Abraham trusted God. Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. He didn't know where he's going to go. His GPS wasn't set up with or anything to get there. He just believed God. God said, I want you to go. And Bible said that he went. That he trusted in the Lord. Abraham trusted God. I think probably most of us, just knowing human nature, we wouldn't have just stepped out and went. We'd have a few questions. We'd say something like, why should I go? Or we might have asked, where am I going? We could have asked, what will you give me for going to go? Or when can I come back? All right, I'll go, but when am I going to be able to come back? But Abraham didn't ask any of those questions. It said, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out not knowing whether he went. You see, Abraham trusted God. They trust each other. Not only that, but I notice Abraham trusted God even for a son. His son's name, of course, was Isaac. And in Genesis chapter 22, and again, we don't have to go back there. These are familiar stories. But you remember how God told him to go up on the mountain there, sacrifice, and told him what to take up. And when he got up there, the problem was, we don't have anything to sacrifice. And God will give himself a sacrifice. And of course, tied up Isaac and laid him on the altar, he's going to sacrifice him. And he was ready to do that. He had his knife up, and Abraham was ready to plunge it down. most Bible teachers, scholars believe, because Abraham believed that he'd raise him back up from the dead. He believed in the resurrection. But he did what? He trusted the Lord, even with his own son. And matter of fact, in James chapter 2, there in verse 21, it says, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar?" So, the grounds of friendship is they trusted each other. He trusted God, Abraham did, and he trusted God with his son. And not only that, but not only did Abraham trust God, but God trusted Abraham. You notice the point was what? They trusted each other. So not only did Abraham trust God, and certainly we see that he did, but God also trusted Abraham. Again, you don't have to turn back there. We often hear this verse quoted around Father's Day time. I've used it several times myself. In Genesis 18:19, God says, "For I know him." That is God talking about Abraham. And God says, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord." God said about Abraham, "I trust Abraham. He's going to follow the way of the Lord. He's going to lead his family in that way as well." The fact is, our children may forget what we say, but I don't know that they'll ever forget what we do. I've heard my children now, my little baby now is what, I'm 42 years old, be 43, I think, in September. So my little baby is about 6 foot and weighs about 250 or something like that, but he's growing like a weed. I got a 47-year-old, I think, daughter and a 42-year-old son. And already they are bringing up what we did. We did this. Or I remember when you did that. Some things are good, some things are not. Like I remember when you made us eat soy burgers instead of regular hamburgers, you know. Those kind of things. Anybody know what a soy burger is? Well, Sharon would know, obviously. And yeah. She was looking around over there at that festival yesterday about the food, and I said, "Sharon, you'll not find it." "What?" "There's no cardboard or styrofoam sold here," because that's kind of what she eats. Those little styrofoam cakes and something that looks like cardboard or whatever. So anyway, our children may forget what we say, but they will not forget what we do. And God trusted Abraham. God believed that Abraham's children would follow after him. He would keep them in the way. We need to get from that we need to be careful of our influence. We've talked about that a lot. I try to preach just about every time I preach about being a witness for Christ. I cannot be an influence to everybody. You cannot be an influence to everybody. But we all can be an influence to that circle of people that we are around, whether it's on the job, in the family, in the neighborhood, wherever it might be. Try to be an influence for the Lord. Ask God to open the door for you to hand that track, for you to talk to somebody or invite somebody to church, whatever the case may be. Or, what's wonderful, if the Lord gives an opportunity to sit down and talk to somebody about how they can know Christ as their Savior. We need to be careful of our influence. Remember, a good friend is one that you can trust. Somebody you can count on. Do you trust the Lord tonight? Well, yes, preacher, I trust the Lord. Then let me ask you this. Can the Lord trust you tonight? Because remember, they trusted each other. Our friends are friends that can trust each other. It's not a one-way street, but they trust one another. The grounds for friendship is that trust. Can you trust the Lord That's called faith. Can the Lord trust you? That's called faithfulness. And that's what the Bible tells us. We need to be faithful. And we need to trust the Lord by faith. The ground for friendship. Number one, they trusted each other. Secondly, number two, they communed with each other. Grounds for friendship. They trusted each other, and then they communed with each other. In Genesis 18:17, we read you verse 19 there, where he said that Abraham's children would follow after him. But in verse 17 of chapter 18 of Genesis, it says, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" You know, God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. You go to the very next chapter, that's chapter 19, and that's what is set up there in that chapter. "And the Lord said of Abraham, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" What was he doing? He was wanting to commune with Abraham, explain to Abraham what's going to happen. That's what a good friend does. They spend time with one another. God said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to be there. I'm your friend." We need to spend time with God. I think of Lazarus. Lazarus was counted as a close friend of Jesus. You remember the story there in John chapter 11 where Martha, Mary Martha, they sent to Jesus to let him know that Lazarus was sick. And he tells these disciples there, "We'll spend a couple days and then we'll go." And of course, Jesus says to them, "My friend Lazarus," or maybe he said, "Our friend Lazarus has died. And now we'll go now to see him." And it's funny, Thomas, you find in the chapter there, I think it's chapter 10 of John, it says that the people were out to get Jesus, you know, they wanted to kill him. In chapter 11, they left, so they get away, and then he finds out that Lazarus, his friend, has died, and so he tells his disciples, "We're going to go back to Lazarus." And Thomas says, "Oh, well, we might as well go back with him and die." You ever watch Winnie the Pooh? You ever hear, listen to Eeyore, the what is it, the donkey or mule, whatever he is? "Oh, well, we might as well go back and die with him." That's kind of Eeyore. Every time I read that, I think, oh, Eeyore talking, you know. "Oh, well," you know. He's always down in the dumps and so forth. And so that was Thomas. But the Lord, you know, he was a friend of Lazarus. He went back to see Lazarus. And of course, that was when Lazarus was raised from the dead as well. You see, friendship is built upon communion with each other. You'll never be a friend with somebody if you never talk to somebody, if you never spend time with him and commune with him. That's what builds friendship. John 15:15. "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends." What was he saying? He said, "I've talked to you. You know where I'm going. You know what I'm doing." They didn't always understand that, but he communed with them. He talked with them. He was with them. That's what friends do. We're talking about the grounds for friendship. They trust each other. They commune with each other. Sometimes we forget how Christ served us. Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister." By the way, that's also found in Matthew 20:28. So two places it said, I didn't come to be ministered unto. I come to minister. I've come to serve you. We hear that we are to love the Lord because He first, what? Loved us. 1 John 4:19. You know, it doesn't say it exactly this way in the Bible, but I think it's true. As a friend of the Lord Jesus, we should serve Him. Why? Because He first served us. He loved us. And therefore we should love Him. He serves us. Therefore we ought to be serving Him. Why, preacher? Because that's what friends do. We're talking about grounds for friendship. They communed with each other. They served each other. They trusted each other. And then secondly, I said there's three things. Number two, there's the guarantees of friendship. The guarantees of friendship. There's the grounds for friendship. Now there's guarantees of friendship. Let's look at a few of those. First of all, friendship guarantees perfect security. In Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1, again, talking about Abraham. That's what we've been talking about here from James chapter 2. Abraham, a friend of God. In Genesis 15, 1, God says, "Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield." What is a shield? It's a protection, isn't it? For the soldier or the policeman or whoever that hold up that shield from being struck or in the times of the Bible, the spear or the arrow or whatever. That's that protection there. God put Abraham in the midst of an ungodly. Remember, He moved him and He took him to a place where he's in the midst of the ungodly heathens. But God said, what? But I'm going to be your shield. I'd rather be in the midst of the ungodly heathens and God's presence with me as my shield than be out here in some nice place and God's nowhere around. But that's what friends do, and that's what God had done for Abraham. The unseen presence of God. I visited Friday afternoon with Carolyn Terrell and Mikey Terrell, and you know, we've already talked about the situation there, and looks like he's going down, and this probably be. I just was told hospice said he could hang on for 2 weeks. Of course, he could be gone tonight. We don't know that, but he does have a strong heart. But I was talking with Carolyn, and then when I got ready to go, it seemed like, and of course I don't know this, where it is or not, but I held Mikey's hand, and he took a hold of my hand, and a couple times while I talked with him, and he smiled at me, whether he understood or no, I don't know, but he held onto my hand. I'd start to slip it out, and he kind of, you know, followed and want to hold on to it, and so after a period of time, I needed to go, and Carolyn had things, of course, she's going to have to do, so I said, let's have a word of prayer before we go, and of course we did, and we, holding Mike's hand and her hand, and as he's laying there, and pray over Mike and Carolyn, and I always mention this, and I'm sure you know this, because you've heard me pray many times, the presence of the Lord. It's so important to have the presence of God in your life, and especially when you go through these difficult times. Aren't you glad you have a friend in Jesus? I was talking to an insurance agent last week, and he's a Christian. He goes to the Bible Baptist Church in Fairfield, I think it was. But I called him about something, and he got back with me, and we were talking and so forth. And he said, "Boy, it's rough out there today with, you know, North Korea and all the other things going on and so forth." And he made the statement to me. He said, "I just wonder how people face the future not knowing the Lord." you know, and how true that is. Carolyn's going to have a hard time when you're, especially when your spouse dies and you've been with them for so long, and of course she's been through quite an ordeal with him. It probably lasts, what, a couple years or more. I mean, just bedridden and so forth, but even before that, of course. She needs a friend, and she has one, and she knows that. Now, I think she's pretty stout and like she's ready, but obviously when that happens, it's going to be tough, but she has somebody to lean upon. You know who she has? She has a friend in Jesus. What a friend we have in the Lord. And so, it is true, a friend is somebody friends are someone that they trust each other, they commune with each other, they will serve each other. And one of the guarantees of friendship, the guarantee of that perfect security, they're going to be around. They're going to be there. And that is true of the Lord. The unseen presence of God will protect us. As a mother protects her child. You watch mothers around here, you know, they're like mother hens, you know, around here worrying about that. We won't talk about anyone in particular. I'm just saying. Well, of course, concerned about our little ones, right? We don't want them to crack their head, you know, there's hard furniture around there, stuff like that. That's what mothers do. We think of the shepherd as he takes care of the sheep. And we can think of God as he watches over his friends. We have a wonderful friend, and we have the guarantee of perfect security. The Lord is with us. Not only that, but friendship guarantees success. Success. Now, it's according to what you think success is. Some count success in fame. Some count success in fortune, how much money they have, or how many toys they have, or possessions they might have. And some count success only as it can be seen. I want to see it. And if I have enough things around me, boy, I'm successful. But Abraham was promised that from him would come a great nation. Now think about that. He said, do you really believe that Abraham believed that? Well, I think Abraham came to the place where he understood God was his friend. And God understood that Abraham was a friend of God. There was a mutual relationship there. And I do believe Abraham believed that. But did you realize, folks, that when Abraham died, he had a son and two grandkids? I'm going to make of you a great nation. And he dies and he has a son and two grandchildren. Now, what kind of big nation are you going to have out of that? 400 years later, you couldn't count them like the sand on the seashore. You see, God always takes care, always meets that need. You see, a Christian believing, listening, and obeying as a friend of God will always have success. Well, I don't see it. Well, don't, friend, you don't have to see it. You have a friend in the Lord Jesus Christ. If he's your friend, guess what? He's your friend. Trust in that presence of the Lord and that friendship that will guarantee success. That's why, that's that verse, you know, we said around here, Matthew 6:33. What? Put you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All these things will be added unto you. And then also, not only perfect security and friendship guarantees success, but friendship guarantees perfect compensation. Perfect compensation. I don't know the better word maybe to use that, but that's what it used. Because as I read about Abraham, and in Genesis 15:1, I'd already read a little bit of this verse, but it says, I am thy exceeding and great reward. God says to Abraham, I am thy exceeding and great reward. Do you know that God has rewards for you? God wants to reward you. God wants to compensate you. You cannot, around here where we say you cannot outgive God. Not only in your money, but in your time and your talent. God will be a debtor to no man. I'll guarantee you whatever time you spend in the things of God, that will be compensated. Whatever money you give in the work of the Lord, that will be compensated. Whatever you do in the area of talent, again, that will be compensated. Abraham made some choices. You know, Lot chose friendship with the world. His nephew Lot, remember, they came up to that place and they had to choose, and Lot looked around, and what did Lot see with his eyes? The Bible said what? The well-watered plains out there at Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's where he went. And he chose friendship with the world. He chose what he could see over what God would promise. Abraham, on the other hand, chose friendship with God. What happened? Well, let me tell you, 20 years later, Lot lost it all. And 20 years later, while Lot lost it all, Abraham was enriched with herds and lambs and flocks, and great was the wealth and the blessings in Abraham's life because Abraham was a friend of God. You choose to serve and commune and be a friend of the Lord as a Christian, then I want you to know something. God in turn compensates for that. And God is a friend that wants to be friendly and help and bless and work in our life. And when the person like Lot, who was a believer, according to Peter, when the day comes and he dies, and he died, and the reward's handed out, well, he's not going to be blessed in a great way. Oh, he's got heaven and all those things, but he chose the friendship of the world, which is an enemy of God, over friendship with the Lord. Abraham, on the other hand, just the opposite. And by the way, just the opposite for you and me. Your friendship to God guarantees perfect compensation from God. Because you can't outgive Him. You can't outdo Him. God loves you. He's your friend. So the grounds for friendship and the guarantee for friendship, and last of all, and we'll close, is the glory of friendship. The glory of friendship. As we draw close to Christ as a friend, we come more like the Lord Jesus Christ. You ever notice people run around together a lot? They kind of act a lot alike. They say of husbands and wives, they've been around each other long enough, they start looking like each other. I hope that means that, I'm not sure how I want to take that, but anyway, and you kind of act like, you end up kind of liking the same things. That don't mean everything, but you know, a lot of things you like, and the foods and all those things that go on. So it is with our friendship with the Lord. Romans 8 and verse 29, we always quote Romans 8:28 about all things work together for good. But Romans 8 and verse 29, the very next verse says to us, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Predestinate what? To be conformed to the image of his son. One of these days we're going to be like him. What a wonderful thought that is. In 1 John 3 and verse 2, John says, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. A certain man went to an artist, a well-known artist, and knocked on the door, and nobody came to the door. He knocked again, and finally the door opened, and he went to look, and he had to look down, and there's this little girl standing there. And he said, I've come to see if so-and-so lives here. And she said, that's my daddy. And he said, okay. He said, well, I wanted to look at some paintings and talk to your father. He said, he'll be back just shortly, but you can come on in. And she took him in to the studio there, and she's pointing at different paintings. And she pointed different paintings and how good they were and how her daddy was a good artist and so forth. And she came to one picture and she said, that one right there is my father's, and she said it this way, his most beautiful picture. And he said, oh, is that right? Yes. Obviously very proud of her father. And they kept going through, and finally they came to a canvas, and it was just kind of a rough sketch or outline. And so he put a smile on his face, and he looked at the little girl, and he said, is this one of those most beautiful pictures too? And the little girl answered, yes. You see, you can't see the beauty yet, but when my father finishes with it, it will be beautiful. He always paints beautiful pictures. Well, you have a father. And guess what? He's not finished with you yet. Believe me. He's not finished with you yet. But he always paints beautiful pictures. Now, in this life, there's sin. In this life, there's the stain because of that. In this life, there's flaws and there's headaches and heartaches, and we can name all those things. But when God's finished with it and with you, you're going to be beautiful. Because you're going to be like Him. We sing the song around here, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. The ground for friendship, trust, communion, and serve. The guarantee of friendship, security, success, and compensation. The glory of friendship, to be like Him. Let's bow for prayer. James said, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. He was called the friend of God. What a friend we have in Jesus. Father God, we live in difficult times, and I suppose many years back there was many great and difficult times as we think of all that's happened in this world, and certainly it's still true today. Sometimes individually we go through some very difficult times, whether it's health issues, financial issues, family issues. If we're not right now, the time will come when we will. But help us to be reminded, as Christians, we have a friend in Jesus. But also, Lord, help us to be reminded of the fact that we need to be a friend to Jesus. That time of communion together, talking together as we pray, reading, Lord, as the Word of God, as you talk to us from your Word, through the preaching and teaching of God's Word in the church. Oh my, what a friend we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. But Lord, tonight, let us think about, are we being a good friend to you? a friend of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm sure there's folks that are part of our family, people that we love and concerned about, that we need to commune with you tonight about them. Pray for them. Bring their name before the throne of grace. Because we do have a friend in Jesus. He is our mediator between us and God. And as friends, we commune together. We talk together. Heavenly Father, we know you love us. Abraham was a friend of God. And Lord, I want to be a friend. I know you're my friend. But I want to be a friend to you. Heavenly Father, as we pray for others, may we need to pray for ourselves. We know, Lord, that you hear and you answer. So tonight, whatever the need is in the home, in the family, in the situation that each of us have, we know, Lord, we can come to you because you're our friend. And so, Lord, tonight, as we offer the invitation, maybe it'd be a good time for us to come and kneel in the local church that you have commissioned. Lift our prayers up to not just God, but lift our prayer up to a friend, which is our God, knowing, dear God, that you're going to listen. So Lord, have your will and your way in our hearts. May we respond according to your will, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.